You know, whenever I hear that song, I don't know, my mind goes to a movie where that song was played in it, or song was in it. A choir was singing it. I'm not sure if anyone has seen the movie Sister Act, but in that movie. Oh, that song took on a whole new joyful expression. And so today we are here and we are singing praise to God Most High. And it's so good to be able to be here. And as we come into this time of hearing God's word, let's just pause for a moment and ask the Lord to just presence himself. The Spirit of God move among us today as we enter into this time of studying his word. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to come here today to worship you in spirit and in truth, to enter into your joy, the joy that burst into the world so long ago when Jesus was born, as the angels sang to the shepherds and just expressed that exceeding great joy that Jesus had come into the world to fulfill that mission of bringing us to that place of being redeemed by God himself, so that we could know that the salvation of our souls and return to God as an expression of our love and joy. Lord, we come today into your presence. We come with so many things that have been on our hearts, so many things that have been on our minds this past week, so many things that have been pulling at us and pushing us and taking away that joy. So, Lord, in this time of studying your word today, I just pray, Lord, that you would speak to us, reminding us of where our joy comes from. It comes from you, Lord Jesus. It comes from who you are. And Lord, we just pray today that whatever has been hindering us, the things that have been keeping us, our minds far from you, Lord, that we would just put that all aside so that you can speak to us, not only in our minds, but in our hearts this morning, Lord, so that we might receive this message with joy and thanksgiving. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we thank you that you are here with us. Holy Spirit, open our hearts, open our minds, that we might be able to receive from you all that you have for us today. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Oh, that beautiful name, that wonderful name, that exalted name. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, this morning we're continuing our Advent series, looking at the series Jesus has, looking at Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11, and we're centering on the truth that Jesus has come. He's come. Jesus has come in human likeness. Jesus has come I was going to review the messages that I've spoken the last couple of weeks, and I can't remember the second one. Oh, my goodness. Jesus has come in human likeness. He's come with a special name. That's what we're looking at today. All right? I just had one of those midlife moments. Well, I guess it's becoming a senior's moment now, right? Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, today what we're doing is we're looking at Jesus' name. And, you know, what's in a name? What's in a name? Think about it for a moment. Why are names important to us? Well, when I was thinking about that, I was thinking, well, what would it be like if we didn't have names? If none of us had names, what would it be like to try to communicate, to try to get anything done? It would be like, well, hey, you. No, not you. Hey, you over there, you, Yeah, you with the that mask on. Oh no, but you have a mask. It would be chaos. We wouldn't be able to function in relationship with one another, because we would never be able to really be able to know who each other are, because our names are so important. You know, I was thinking about this as well. Like, we all know how important names are, right? Because if you've been a parent, you know, and you have kids, you know how important it is to select just the right name for your newborn baby, right? You take a lot of time to do that, a lot of thought to do that, to find that perfect name. And, you know, sometimes we come up with really interesting names for our kids. You know, a teacher I know once told me how they were starting in a new school, and it was the first day of classes, and they got their attendance sheet just as, you know, about 15, 20 minutes before they started the class. And they were looking over the attendance sheet for the first class, and their eyes spotted this interesting name about three quarters of the way down the page, and they thought, is this a real name, or is this, you know, I'm a new teacher here to this school. Is the office secretary playing a joke on me here? And so as they were saying the attendance, calling out the names, they got to this name, and they hesitantly called out the name April, May, March. And surprisingly, at the back of the room, there was this voice that spoke up and said, "Here." And on the attendance sheet, it said March, April, May. Creative names, right? It was a real name. You know, the real names add that sense of who is this person to us. The names are important. Names set us apart from each other. They're an indication of our uniqueness. That name, that is very unique. And they're also a window into our personhood. You know, you just have to look through the Old Testament and the New Testament, and you can find all kinds of different names that have real significant meaning. You know, when Joseph, you know, Joseph was given the when Joseph was given a new name. His name was Jacob. Sorry, when Jacob was given, something didn't add up there. Another one of those moments. When Jacob was given a new name, he was given the name Israel, which means Prince of God. And the his name before was really Schemer. And so he was transformed from a schemer into a prince of God. And so names in the Old Testament, New Testament, give us a window into our personhood. And they also mark our place in history, where we fit into a family, our family, past or present. You know, my name, you know, when I was born on my mom's birthday. And being born on my mom's birthday, my mom and dad included in my name something that they didn't include in my other siblings' names. They included my mom's maiden name, which was Brond. And I'm the only one that has that link in our family to my mom's lineage. Brond, and of course, many of you know that the bronze come from Peterborough here. And so, you know, that my name actually connects me to this community through my mom's father. And so names can be very significant in connecting us within the family. And also names, they help us to understand, you know, what people have accomplished. You know, names mark accomplishments. You know, there are some names that I could say here today, like if I said the word Elvis, the name Elvis, we would all immediately go to, oh, who's that? Well, he was the king of music, right? Elvis, Michael. If I say Michael, we all know basketball, associate Michael. Or Michael Jackson, music, again. You know, the names bring up the history and accomplishments. You know, there are, I was looking at this list, and, you know, we can kind of, with it, when I show this list, you're kind of going, well, maybe not that order for us if we were doing the list. But this list came out a number of years ago of the 10 most influential people of all time. And this is how they ranked them. Now, we all know who Muhammad was. He was the founder of Islam. So I'm not sure if that's to be most influential because, Islam is a very widespread religion in the world. But the second name on there was Isaac Newton. Do you know what Isaac Newton is known for? Gravity, discovering gravity. Of course, we know who Jesus is, and we know who Buddha and Confucius and St. Paul are. Cao Lun, do you know who Cao Lun was? He was the discoverer of paper, the first one to create paper. Influential person. Johanna Gutenberg, who, you know, influential because we wouldn't have books without his influence. Christopher Columbus, a great discoverer. Albert Einstein, a physicist, scientist who, you know, opened up the whole world of discovery of space and time. Influential people, and we know them by their names. So what is this all about? Why are we looking at all of these names? Well, all these people here have done all kinds of wonderful things, but there's one person on this list whose name is above everybody's name. Wouldn't you agree? His name is Jesus. And today we look at this passage from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11, and we remember that Jesus has come, and he's come with a very special name. This is what Philippians 2, 5 to 11 says. Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. And he became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now this is one of the very first songs that the early church sang together. It's a beautiful expression of who Jesus is. And today, as we look at this part of this song, this third stanza of the song, we're brought into this understanding that Jesus has come with a special name. How special is this name? Well, this name is a worthy name. It's a worthy name. God exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him in the name that is above every name. It's a worthy name. And this name, this worthy name of Jesus, was confirmed by an angel. It confirmed by an angel to Mary in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 33, where we read this. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. He was a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. For he will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will never, ever end." When the angel appeared to Mary, he confirmed to Mary that she would be with child, that she was the chosen one to give birth to Messiah. And that in itself was an amazing thing, that announcement that the angel gave to Mary. And Mary, you know, in that moment of complete surrender to God, said, "Be that as it may the Lord's will be done unto me." And as the angel talked with Mary and gave her these words of assurance, he said, "This child, you are to give him the name Jesus. And this is why you're to do that, because he will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. He is the heir to the throne of David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob, over God's people forever and ever, and his kingdom will never end." This is the fulfillment. In this name is the fulfillment of all the promises that God had made in the Old Testament to his people Israel. There would come a Messiah one day, and his name is Jesus. Not only did the angel confirm this to Mary, but interestingly, the angel also confirmed it, this to Joseph. We read this in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 21. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." You know, it was one thing for Mary to have an angel come and say that she was going to have a child without a human father. It was another thing for her betrothed, Joseph, to have that conversation with Mary and to find out, "Oh, you're what? You're what? You're going to have a child? You're going to, you are, well, hold on a second here." Shocking. Joseph wouldn't know what to do. Didn't know what to do. He had decided in his heart, "You know what, if this, I don't want to marry this woman." And he was going to divorce her quietly. But the angel came to Joseph, visited him, and said to him, "No, Joseph, don't do that, because this child is the Messiah. And you are to give this child the name Jesus, because he is the one who is going to save God's people. You are to give him the name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." He will be their Savior. And this name Jesus, we have the word Jesus, but in the Hebrew it's Yeshua. Yeshua, it's Joshua. That's the name Joshua. And Joshua means Yahweh is salvation. That's the translation. Yahweh is salvation. Beautiful name. A worthy name. Confirmed by the angels. But this name was also a worthy name because it was foretold by the prophets. In Matthew chapter 1, 22 to 23, it says, all this took place. The visitation by the angels took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophets, that the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, God with us. And this is what the prophet Isaiah spoke of when he spoke of the day when the Lord, the source of our salvation, would live among his people. And Isaiah says this. He says, surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is the Lord, is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day, you will say, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. So sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for with great joy, for God is great. He is the Holy One of Israel, and he is among you. Today, Jesus' name, a worthy name, God with us, Emmanuel. And this name, this worthy name, is like no other. For God exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's a name like no other. You know, Peter proclaimed this. We learned this a couple weeks ago in Acts chapter 4, verses 28, or 8 to 12. When Peter was standing before the Sanhedrin, he proclaimed this. He says, rulers and elders of the people, if we're being called to account today for the act of kindness shown to a crippled man and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you today healed. For he is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Jesus' name is a worthy name. It's a worthy name. The angels proclaimed it. The disciples declared it. And the angels still proclaim this name today. In Revelation chapter 5, 11 to 12, it says, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000s times 10,000s. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And in a loud voice they sang, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. You're getting the picture? Jesus' name is a worthy name. It's the name that is proclaimed in heaven. The name above all names. But it's also a very beautiful name. A beautiful name. The name angels announced to the shepherds this beautiful name. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger. Did you catch what the angels said to the shepherds? This beautiful name. He is Christ, the Lord. What does that name mean? Christ the Lord. Well, you know, if we break that down, that beautiful name down. What we see is that, you know, Christ, Christos in the Greek, means anointed one. He is the anointed one. He is the chosen one of God. Christos, the anointed one. Isaiah paints a beautiful word picture of Jesus as the anointed one, the anointed one of God. He says in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 2, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." This is Jesus, the anointed one, the chosen one, the one who is our Wonderful Counselor. Stop for a moment and think about that. Think about that, who Jesus is as your Wonderful Counselor. Jesus is our wise counselor. He speaks words of encouragement to us. He speaks to our hearts. He calls out to us. And you know, when we're going through those struggles and those difficulties and those challenges of life, oh, isn't it great to know we have a wonderful counselor in life? In Matthew 11, 28 to 30, Jesus says, "Come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden, oh, it's so light. Come to me. Receive from me the counsel and that will help you to begin to approach life from in those unforced rhythms. Learn those unforced rhythms of life from me, your counselor, your wonderful counselor." Oh, but then also remember that the anointed one, Jesus, is also our mighty God. Our mighty God who stands with us, who stands with us in the battle against sin and death. Our mighty God, as Psalm 24, 8 reminds us, who is the King of glory. He is the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. You know, Jesus was willing to come as our mighty God and do battle on our behalf, to lay down his life and pour out his blood for us, shed his blood for us on the cross. And if you don't think that was a battle, that was the battle of all battles that Christ won for us on the cross. For Jesus has fought and won a decisive victory on the cross. And we see that in Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 to 15, where the Apostle Paul says, "When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all your sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." This is God. This is Jesus, our mighty God. What he did for us. It's so beautiful. And then we see him as the everlasting Father, that the anointed one is the everlasting Father. And you can go to, well, I thought Jesus was the Son of God. Well, he is one with the Father. He is the everlasting Father. He is one. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you've seen me, hey, you've seen the Father. For before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." That's what the psalmist says of God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. All one, everlasting God, Father. In Isaiah 64:8, we read, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are the works of your hands. And then in Colossians chapter 1, 13 to 15, we read this, For the Father has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Jesus and the Father are one, holding all things together. Jesus, being one with the Father, has created us, and he's ordained all of our days. And he's still working in us and through us. Jesus desires to shape us in his image and for his purposes. And we see this in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, where Paul says, For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You know, when we come to that place of recognizing who Jesus is as the everlasting Father, the full expression of the Father in the flesh, then we begin to realize just how he is at work in us, shaping us, molding us, all because of who he is for us as our everlasting Father. And we come to that last thing that that Isaiah tells us about, the Anointed One, this beautiful name of Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the ultimate peacemaker in this world. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 to 22 says, For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile them, both of them, to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and raises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Talk about transformation. Talk about peace with God. When we understand that Jesus is our peace, all that Jesus Christ has done for us, wrapped up in that name, Prince of Peace, when we recognize that, when we begin to understand that, not just in our with our head, but with our heart, then something begins to transform in our lives on a day by day, minute by minute basis. All the confusion, all the stuff of that causes us to feel anxious or out of sorts with God or with others, suddenly there's peace. Because we know, not just with our head, but with our heart, that Jesus is the one who gives us rest and peace. That peace that passes all understanding comes from Jesus. I ask you today, are you searching for peace in your soul today? Turn to Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Claim the name of Jesus. Hold on to that beautiful name. Oh, you are my Prince of Peace. May your peace dwell in my heart today. You know, Isaiah 26, 3 to 4 says this: "You will keep in perfect peace, O God, him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is our rock eternal, the Prince of Peace." And finally, Jesus' name is an exalted name. The song that we're looking at in today and from Philippians tells us that God exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. His name is an exalted name. It's a name above all names. Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord in the Greek is Kyrios, which in the Greek means Lord, which means the highest one. Adonai is the Lord in Hebrew is Adonai. And Adonai means Jehovah. Jehovah is God. That is God's personal name. Lord, Kyrios, Adonai, Jehovah. And so this beautiful name, this exalted name, means Yahweh, our salvation, the anointed one, is Jehovah, the only true God. That's Jesus' name. And we're told that at this name, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. One day that's going to happen. Do you know that? One day, every single human being will be raised from the grave, and they will stand before the throne of God, and there will be no doubt that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everyone will have to bow the knee to Jesus, whether it's willingly or unwillingly, to acknowledge that Jesus is God. Some to eternal life in that acknowledgement, and others to eternal judgment. But every knee will bow one day, will recognize the exalted name of Jesus. Every tongue will confess the supremacy of Jesus' exalted name. Jesus has come with a special name. Do you recognize the worth of Jesus' name this morning? Do you recognize, can you see the beauty of his name today? Are you ready? Are you ready in your heart today to exalt his majestic name? You know, if everything in you says, yes, yes, I recognize Jesus, your name is worthy, your name is beautiful, your name is exalted, then Jesus is your salvation today. Because you've confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believed in your heart that God raised him from, then you are saved. But I'm asking you today, if you're here today and you don't know the name of Jesus, you don't know Jesus in your heart, I'm asking you today just to consider who Jesus is. And make that choice today. To claim Jesus as your salvation today. For all of us who know Jesus, who've given our life over to Him, you know, I ask you today to consider, do you know Jesus as your wonderful counselor? As your mighty God, as your everlasting Father, as your Prince of Peace, have you gone from just knowing these things about Jesus and His name to really, really embracing them in your heart today? Acknowledging them in your heart, experiencing these things, because these things are not just, you know, casual names for Jesus. This is who Jesus can be for you at a very deep heart level. So I'm speaking to you today to take that journey from your head to your heart regarding the name of Jesus, who He is to you in all the fullness of God. Because it really makes a difference when we embrace the name of Jesus, not just in our head, but in our heart. Then it gives us a whole different quality of life. Is Jesus Christ Lord of your entire life? You know, that's what it really means to reflect on the name of Jesus. I mean, I've been sharing a lot about Jesus' name today, but it's not just been to give you knowledge about this. It's about to invite you to really experience who Jesus is for you today, right now, going deeper with Jesus. So if you're not sure today, if you've never asked Jesus to take His rightful place as Lord of your life today, then here's the opportunity for you, the opportunity to go deeper, to acknowledge the name of Jesus and then go deeper with Him. And I would encourage you to listen to these words too from Romans chapter 10, verses 9 to 13. That if you do confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is written, it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in Him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, that beautiful name, that exalted name, that worthy name, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So this morning, remember this as we think about the name of Jesus, that salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. So consider today the name of Jesus. Reflect on it. As we come to continue into this Christmas season, this Advent season, just remember, just reflect on the name of Jesus. The Christmas story is full of the encouragement for us, the invitation for us to come and get to know Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What a beautiful, wonderful, worthy, and exalted name. Amen and amen. Lord, just help us to take to heart today this reflection on your beautiful name, Jesus. Oh Lord, may we really get to know you as we reflect this Christmas on who you are to us, who you have revealed yourself to us through all the names that we know you by. And Lord, I just pray today that if someone is here that doesn't know you, that doesn't have a firm foundation in you, that they would call on your name and that they would receive from you life eternal. For you are our salvation. You are our rock that we cling to, the only one who can deal with the sin and longings of our heart. Oh Lord, draw near to each one of us by your beautiful name. Lord, teach us, move us, shape us, mold us. We're yours, Lord. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.